What? I wasn't listening.
Kimberly, you know, said that's something 40 years ago now.
Kimberly said something funny and I wasn't
no,
paying
sir.
Attention.
Do the math.
It wasn't 40 years ago.
You
I was
said
80s.
80s, 90s, aughts. Okay, 30 years. Okay, I'm good that's at multivariate I'm good at multivariate calculus. I can't add on my fingers.
Well, you only have 10 of them, so.
Yeah, all I did was 3 or 4.
Welcome back to Grok Talk. We just invited you back in mid-conversation. Mike sent me something about the weed store. Yeah, Kim, put the state weed store in the middle of the state. Hey, they're already smoking something in Concord. Then put the state munchie store on the borders to catch those out-of-staters a second time because they get hungry on their way home. Come on, Jack.
Well,
thank
we
God
were...
you're here because we were just kind of drifting.
Well, we were going to get to that... we were going to get to that segment that, well, when the guest doesn't show up, we talk about them anyways.
I've been showing up since 10 o'clock.
Oh, man.
You've been what?
So
trying to find parking?
Parking.
Parking?
Don't pick on them, man.
I grew up in Winchester, Massachusetts.
Oh, there we go. That's the Boston accent.
I still have a little of that left.
All right. For those of you who haven't figured it out yet, our next guest is Jack Kimble.
Hi, folks.
Hi, Jack. How you
sorry,
doing?
I'm a little out of breath. I had to climb one flight of stairs. I'm in terrible shape. But there's a huge crowd out there now. It's a gorgeous day, and there's no parking.
Nope.
Particularly for my truck that has a big Bob Smith sign.
Oh, I saw
in
that.
In the back of the bed.
I've seen that.
I had trouble parking at 8, so don't feel bad. It's,
yeah.
It's...
So why didn't you call me and tell me?
I called.
He
I
did,
had the
but...
wrong number. I think I have your – I did call you.
Never mind.
I called you at 9:30 or something like that.
Oh, I was awake.
Were you? All right. Well, I'll check the number before you leave. Let me make a note. Jack's correct phone number.
235-28. No, I'm not going to tell anybody else. So then the
too late.
You'll be getting prank phone calls.
Yes, remember, we are live streamed.
Yes. I people know. Will be like, call, I'm calling Jack Kimble.
No delay.
It'll be like the monkey with the cocaine button. Test study. Calling Jack Kimble.
That's a pretty good visual.
So anyway, welcome to the show.
Thanks.
How you doing?
Thanks.
How's the campaign going?
Actually, it's going very, very well. And, you know, I'm glad you had me on because I get a chance to tell people things that they don't know. And, you know, of course, Karen Testament's dropping out and getting behind Bob was huge. I think it was unprecedented
the
in the
right
state
number?
Of New Hampshire. Yeah.
Okay, I did call you. You got a voicemail. Anyway, please
you
go
just
ahead.
Just ruined my thought. You didn't ask.
You were talking about Karen.
Yeah, and Karen, and she deserves a lot of credit. I mean, this was a selfless thing to do and to get behind Bob so that we have really only one conservative in the race. And there is only one conservative in the race, and that would be Senator Bob Smith. But the thing that people don't know is that the entirety of both teams got together, and we had no dropout. Now, it's a little odd. I honestly thought we'd get some dropout. I mean, but it didn't happen. So 100% of both teams stayed together, which was just significant. So we looked at the areas that we needed to fill and so on and so forth. But what happened was a few days after this event occurred, Senator Smith called me. It was a Sunday morning. And he said, Jack, you know all the players. You know everybody. And I said, yeah. And he says, well, we need to pull this thing together and really get it going. I'm all excited about this. And And he said, so, you know, I need you to come on and be my campaign manager. Really? Okay. That wasn't something I was thinking about, you know. So I said, Senator, I have to go talk to my wife, my actual boss. So we've been through a lot, and we're going to, you know, have a discussion about this, and then I'll call you back. But, you know, I did, and I went to my front porch after I hung up with the senator, and I said to my wife, I said, Donna Marie, look, you know, it's not something I was thinking about, but, you know, maybe it's time. And I can't think of a better thing to do right now. And I look at this very differently than politics. I look at this as a guy who's a patriot and loves his country and working for a guy who is a patriot and loves his country. And that's what I'm doing. And so I talked to her about it, and she said, you know what? Yeah, let's do it. So with that, I went up and told him that I'll take the job. And that's how it all happened. But going back a little bit in time, when Bob did get into the race, we had two strong conservative candidates, Karen and Bob. We had a couple campaign meetings, and one was, you know, Jack, why don't you go meet with Bob, see if he'll meet with you, and let's try to protect that block of conservative votes. I mean, the key to us was that no matter what happened, we had to somehow get an agreement between these two individuals, quality individuals, that based on certain criteria just before registration week, that only one of them would be on the ballot. Because otherwise, both would lose. It happens so often in the state of New Hampshire, ever since in my lifetime. And you have too many conservatives running, and none of them will get out.
Yep.
And as much as I admire the fact, because, you know, I ran for governor. We had a four-way race. And, you know, if we had constricted consolidated, we had a chance. But the bottom line, we have a different situation here that John Stevens I consider to be. He's a good guy. He was a conservative. I didn't have an issue and joined his campaign after. But in this case, it's a stark difference. And I think that right now we do have one strong conservative in the race. But the other thing that happened was I had that meeting with Bob. And I sat down with him in my kitchen, in my house. And I just said, Senator, why are you doing this for him? And he said, Jack, my country is in trouble. I can help. And that's the reason I'm here. And the other thing he said was profound to me, which was, I don't want to be known as the generation that loses America. You know, I want to be the generation that saves her. Now, that sends chills up my spine. I basically said, okay, those are good reasons to do what you're doing. But so then I had the conversation about, listen, we got a voting block, 40%, whatever it is, that we got to protect. And we got to make sure that going into the primary, we come out victorious. And the only way that's going to happen is that only one of you are on the ballot. Would you be willing, before registration week, given certain criteria, to sit down with Karen and only one of you come out of that meeting so that we have pretty much a guaranteed victory? And he said, Jack, absolutely. If the criteria is there, I have no problem with that at all. So I said, fine. So then what I did was I reported back to the campaign about the meeting and what he said. Everyone was buoyed by that. We also agreed that we'd embrace each other. There would be friendliness on the campaign trail. And you didn't have to tell them that anyway. I mean, they both like each other. They've known each other a while. And then I had a subsequent meeting with Karen there with him. Basically the same stuff that we talked about when I was with Bob, but this time with the two of them in the room. And they both agreed. Eyeball to eyeball, that's what they would do. And they hugged and shook hands, and I thought, this is something. I mean, so
it doesn't happen very often in New Hampshire politics.
It doesn't. Not that I've seen at all. And look, guys, when we went through the primary, the presidential primary, the last presidential primary, about 70-72% of the Republican vote, which I can very strong conservative-based vote, was split between roughly six conservative candidates. I mean, we had a default winner. We can't keep doing that. And I would have to say to you, I mean, I went through Herman Cain was my first choice. And, you know, after that, it was, you know, Newt. And then after that, after that, you know, it's like we can't keep doing things like that. We've got to at least be willing as conservatives and the strong base of this party to say, you know, let's have a preliminary primary. But before registration, Or if they can't do it before registration, sometime before the actual primary, they get in a room and somehow hammer out a way to come out of that room with only one person. But that's rare.
Yeah. You know? It's very hard to do because if you're going to run for that level of office, you have to have, and let's be honest here, you have to have a certain level of ego that says, I have the skills and I have to be that person. And to some degree, it's warranted. In some people, it's unwarranted. And I can think of a couple people. No, Jack, not you. But it is a case where it's a hard decision for when you've got people who are kind of equal for whether them to stand aside. So for Karen to have done that, and you know, you have to say it is a good thing. Now, there's still three candidates left in the race. Jim Rubens, Bob Smith, and Scott Brown, who was the, shall I say, the butt of our Whiskey Tango Foxtrot moment here. That will be a common segment on Granite Grok and Grok Talk going forward because he ran away from a Guardian reporter just like he keeps running away from Grok Talk.
Heard all about it.
Oh, yes, I'm quite sure.
It's all over New Hampshire news.
Jesus.
It What is the game plan going forward? What is it that Bob Smith offers that neither Jim or Brown offer?
You know, one of the things, and I want to preface what I'm going to say by saying this. You know, a lot of criticism has been put forth. You know, you and I discussed, and I have certainly been a proponent of when I was running for governor, term limits, and those discussions have been held, and a lot of people are in favor of that for obvious reasons. But when you do get somebody that goes to Washington and does everything they say they're going to do, stands tall for the country, the republic, the Constitution, votes 98.6% of the time for constitutional conservative values, 100% record on Second Amendment issues, 100% on life, infamous POW and MIA situation, and getting our folks back. But you want to keep people like that, in my view. You know, it's really our job to be the term limiters. I agree with doing a sucky job of it right now, but it is our job.
It is.
That's what the founders really wanted to see, that they leave on their own, or, you know, we get rid of them if we didn't think they were doing the job. It's a sad state of affairs when you look at the electorate today and what they're doing. But given that, and having said that, you have something very stark in the form of Bob's record to prove his credentials and his bona fides. I mean, this guy is the consummate conservative. This is a guy who stood on principle the entire time he was in the Congress and the U.S. Senate, never wavered at all. And I think, quite frankly, and I've been here about 6 months shorter than he was here, I would come out and say this. He's probably one of the best congressmen and senators, U.S. senators, this state has ever had the honor and privilege to have. And I am honored and privileged to get behind him. But you asked me a question. Here's the answer. I want a guy that stands on the Constitution, rock solid on the Constitution, the constitutional values, bringing us back to the Constitution. I want a guy that believes in the Republican platform. The Republican platform is a hell of a good platform. I like it. Okay?
And
he's the only one that stands on it.
Boy, doesn't that put you in the group that we're in, because we're called extremists for being... You know, and Steve and I had this conversation before we got in through the locked door this morning, which is another story. I find it very difficult to understand where this country has gone, where the culture has gone. When people who, yeah, I can understand people who are Democrats don't like us who stand on the Republican platform. But they keep saying, well, you're too far to the right. I'm sorry, it's not far to the right. We've gone back down to our principles on the Constitution. And that never used to be an extremist idea, except during the Revolutionary War time period, where those were radical ideas. And yet, we're the extremists. So he's an extremist for liberty.
And that's – you're absolutely right. And that's a good thing. And if – I think one of the speeches I gave was in Connecticut. You know, if you believe in the Republic, if you believe in the Constitution, if you believe in small government, if you believe in lower taxes, and you're called an extremist – well, let's bring it on, because that's – you can call me that. That's okay, because by that definition, that's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. But, of course, they mean it in a very bad way. But I don't understand how the Republican Party can push an individual that doesn't represent the platform at all, okay, very little of it anyway. Also, in the state of New Hampshire, you got to work your butt off, grassroots-wise, to get out there and meet people and to shake hands and answer questions, to your point. And let people know who you are and what you're about. I know that better than most, okay? Bob Smith knows it better than all of us, and he's doing it. Scott Brown doesn't show up anywhere. I'm deadly serious. I'm out there all the time. Nowhere. Zero. He's not out there. He's not working. I don't care what the
press is. You know where he is? He's in the bathroom. Uh-huh. Yeah. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
New Hampshire is famous for scenic drives, but they're tough to enjoy when you're on your way to the doctor. Because Obamacare limits your choices, some will have to drive more than an hour to see a doctor. What's health insurance worth if care isn't there when you need it? Jean Shaheen voted for Obamacare, putting your doctors and hospitals further out of reach. Tell Senator Shaheen, Obamacare is not working for New Hampshire.
Hi, this is Rich Gerard, host of Gerard at Large in the Morning, the Manchester area's only locally owned, locally operated, focused and interested, riveting radio show heard live every Monday through Friday from 6 to 9 on 90.7 FM WLMW, New Hampshire Family Radio, and available 24/7 live or archived at GerardAtLarge.com. Be sure to tune in.
All right, we're back. If you were listening to us on the break, which apparently is an ongoing problem.
We've been bugged.
Yeah, we'll try to be
NSA
a little bit quieter on the break so you don't hear us talking. I've known for a while that we have some mic in the room picking up audio from someplace and throwing it through the feed, and we don't know where it's coming from. But maybe there's
check
a bug.
Check under the tables.
Maybe there's a bug. Anyway, weird. Back to Jack and Smith for Senate.
Yeah, well, Skip had asked, you know, what differentiates Bob, you know, from the other two candidates. And clearly now it's on the journey to discuss that. But again, I ask people who maybe don't know that much about Bob to compare Bob's record while he was in the U.S. Senate, for that matter, Congress, against Scott Brown's record while he was in Senate. And compare the voting records. And if you still think that you want to back Scott, well, that's fine. But we are in big trouble, folks. Our country's going over a cliff. I hope we have time to reel it back in. But if we're going to reel it back in, you've got to put the right people in office, and we've got to take control of the Senate. You're going to do that. You want to do that with somebody that's going to caucus with Ted Cruz and Mike Lee and Rand Paul, those guys. I can tell you who Scott Brown is not going to caucus with. Them.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So you got to really wake up and smell the roses, folks. I mean, and Bob Smith is the only true conservative in the race. And the other thing is, you know, Bob is just 100% pro-life. That's important to me personally. Second Amendment's near and dear to his heart. And by the way, it's a shame that we have to separate out defending and upholding the Constitution and then all of a sudden separate out the Second Amendment as a separate category. It really isn't. It shouldn't be. Constitution is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And in my personal opinion, you either support, you raise your right hand and you take an oath, and Scott Brown took an oath twice. He took one as a guy in the military and he took one as a U.S. senator. He took an oath to protect, defend, and uphold the Constitution. Now, you don't get to pick and choose what pieces of it or what parts of it you want to uphold.
Right.
You uphold it all or don't bother entering the military or, for that matter, running for office. But I don't think that these people look at it that way. I think that they don't have a problem. If he'll continuously say, well, you know, it's up to the states to formulate gun control. No. You don't allow violation of the Constitution and the Second Amendment at all. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. That's a pretty black and white statement.
Yeah.
There's no gray area.
Shall not be
it's not their rights to take away from us.
No, it isn't. So, I mean, but these are the things where Bob is rock solid. He's a very smart guy. He's very business savvy. He also is a very, very tight spender, I can tell you personally. he will guard your bucks with his life. But the other thing he is he's an extraordinarily humble and principled man. And the more time I spend with him, I realize that not only is he a giant of a man physically, he truly is a giant of a man, period, and even spiritually. And his wife, I'd never met until we went over to the registration. Mary Jo is just one of a kind. He did marry up. But, I mean, I'm just saying.
Don't
all right,
Roseman.
But she's really phenomenal.
Yeah, well, maybe.
But you asked me how the campaign was going earlier, Stephen, and I got to tell you, it's exploded. Everywhere he goes, people are coming up to him. I witness it. Two quick stories before I get into one. I hope you let me talk. Well, you don't have to let me. I'm going to do it anyway.
He owns the.
Yeah,
buttons.
I know. He's going to control the mic.
I can make sure he doesn't interrupt you.
Yeah. a couple quick stories. I think that these need to be told. You know, Bob's too humble. He doesn't tell them, but he'll tell them to me, and I asked his permission. So. Doesn't mind my telling them. I said, do you mind if I tell these stories? I think they need to get out. And one was he did put out, which was a few weeks ago, we had the Merrimack debate. And the last question of that debate, which he won, in my view, handily, but the last question of that debate was how would you want to be remembered? You know, what would you like your legacy to be? And it was asked more along the lines of, you know, in the public eye and what have you. And his response was telling, because this is how he responded. He said, you know, I know that this isn't the response you're probably looking for, but for me, he said, I want to be remembered as a good husband. I've been married to the same woman for 48 years. And she says she still loves me. It's a big deal. I want to be remembered as a good dad. And I want to be remembered as a good granddad. Those are the things that are most important to me. But then he said something that told this quick story. He said, just to answer your question, I don't know. This is one thing that sticks out in my mind. There are so many things that I've seen and done. But one thing that sticks out in my mind, I got a phone call while I was a senator that was from a woman from Massachusetts. And this woman called up, and she's very emotional. She's 80 years old. And she said, Senator Smith, I've got word that they found my brother's plane wreckage at the top of some mountain in a country that wasn't all that friendly to us at the time. And she said, and he was head of the POW MIA committee. And he said, well, why are you calling me? And she said, well, he said, because you ought to be calling Senator Kennedy or Kerry or both. And she said, oh, I have, but they won't do anything. He said, well, what can I do? And she said, well, confirm it's been discovered, and if so, can't we go get him? Can we get his remains? He said, let me see what I can do. So he makes a couple phone calls. He gets hold of the DOD. They said, yeah, we know where it is now. It's been discovered. And they talked about why they couldn't go get it, the remains. And Bob said, BS. You put a team together. You go in and get them, and you come the hell back with them. And that's exactly what happened. There were no incidents. They went in and they got his remains and they brought them back. What happened after that is even more profound. He said, Jack, he said, I didn't know at the time, because I was going to go and did go to the ceremony. And I knew military protocol was to present the flag to the next of kin. And little did I know, there were three more sisters, all elderly, but that were going to be there. So that day, he says, I don't know who this guy is. I got to find him out. He says, I sent my guy out. Says, go get three more flags. Hurry up. And he found three more American flags. He said, so what happened was, and they didn't know what protocol was, and it wasn't a dry eye in the place. He said, I'll never forget it. It was like the man died the day before. And he said, but four American flags were presented that day to each and every one of those women. And he said, and I never have forgotten the emotion and the reaction. And everyone sat there for it. It's like, I'm tearing up. I'm just sitting there. And I went, that's the guy I want. That gives that much of a damn that he would do that and make sure. Even then, he said, oh, and by the way, Senator Kerry and Kennedy, they didn't show up.
Shocker.
So that's one quick story. 2 weeks ago, the senator was in Conway, and he was at an event where he spoke. And he was finished a Q&A, and he was just talking to people. And the guy came in and said to him, Senator, somebody wants to talk to you outside. And the senator was, you know, he's in the midst of all these people, and he wants to meet me outside. Yeah. He's pretty insistent. All right. So the senator walks out the door. There's no kidding. As soon as he spots this little guy, little scruffy guy, scruffy hair, scruffy beard. He almost looked homeless. And he said, as soon as I walked out the door, this little guy ran up to me, grabbed me, and started hugging me and sobbing his eyes out. He said, I know what was going on. You know, so he says, son, what's wrong? You know, what's this about? And he said, I never thought I'd ever get the opportunity. I owe you so much. And he said, well, you don't owe me anything. He says, yeah, I do. Yeah, nobody would let me have my Purple Heart. And you got it for me. You did that. And I never forgot it. And Bob said, son, You earned that. And this is going on all over the state. Nobody has to convince Jack Kimball about the bona fides of this guy, but I want to convince other people about the bona fides of this guy and make them realize they're making a huge mistake if they think for 1 minute somebody other than him should be the nominee of this party going into this election. And that's another thing. When we talk about Jean Shaheen and her position, she's about 99.5% lockstep with Barack Obama. And I heard a friend of mine the other day, and I went at him on this, and I'm going to tell you what happened. He says to me, Jack, I was at an event the other night. Billy Shaheen was there. And he was talking about how unified the Democratic Party is and how disunified and disjointed the Republican Party is. And I said, well, first of all, let me tell you something, okay? The Republican Party has a lot of independent thinkers, okay? We're not going to be like lemmings and walk over a cliff. And I say that to every Republican out there. Don't be like that, okay? Be an independent and principled person. I said, but I want you to think of something else. I want you to think of this. The Democratic Party is unified, pretty much. They're unified in one major thing. And the complete and utter destruction of the United States of America. That's what they're unified in. That's what they're doing. And they don't seem to have a damn problem with it. Now, to me, you ought to be an American before you're anything else. You ought to think like that. If you're an American, you ought to believe in your republic. You ought to believe in your country, the Constitution, small government. You should believe in those things. And if you do, you need to part company with those who don't. And you need to start making some noise and voting the other way. Because quite frankly, this party or nothing, power and party politics, doesn't ring with me anymore. Okay? It just doesn't. You got to start blurring the R and the D and make people realize that the country's at stake. And Democrats are Americans too. So I thought. And they got to wake up. And we got to pull together and reel this all back in.
We got about 30 seconds. Can you give us some contact info?
Yeah. You can get Bob Smith for USSenate.com. And quickly, we got a big event coming up. It's the Confederate Railroad Freedom Rally. And you can still get the information at Bob Smith for USSenate.com on August 29th, all day, 2 to 10. Buy tickets. They're only $20. It's a huge thing.
Thanks for coming in, Jack. This is Rock Talk. I'm Steve McDonald here with Skip Murphy and our guest host, Kimberly Morin. Yeah. All right. Thanks a lot. We'll be back next week with more news, more discussion, more conversations, and more Rock Talk. Have a great weekend.
Whether she still supports Obamacare, Senator Jean Shaheen said,
yes, I do continue to support the law. We're beginning to see some positive results.
How can Senator Shaheen say we're seeing positive results when 22,000 of our neighbors have already lost their health insurance? What's worse, the Boston Globe reports the state's only health insurance provider radically reduced the number of hospitals in their network, forcing some people to drive over an hour for lab work, even when there's a hospital within a few miles of their home. When pressed about lack of access, Shaheen said,
there are some hospitals that are not covered, unfortunately, and I certainly hope that's going to change.
Jean Shaheen promised us we could keep our doctors and our healthcare coverage. Now she hopes we can get to a local hospital? Call Senator Shaheen at 603-647-7500. Tell her we need more than hope. We need leadership. Paid for by Citizens for a Strong New Hampshire.
Senator Jean Shaheen said, if you like your current health plan, you can keep it. That's not true, Senator. 22,000 New Hampshire citizens have been kicked off their insurance plans. Hospitals in Rochester, Concord, and Portsmouth, they aren't allowed to provide care under the exchange. Senator, you were wrong in your comments. You should apologize for your misleading remarks. I'm calling Senator Shaheen at 750-3004 and telling her I want my doctor back. You should too.
Paid for by SaberPAC.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidate committee.
Grok Talk is a production of GraniteGrok.com in cooperation with the Coalition of New Hampshire Taxpayers. Individual guests and speakers are responsible for their own content, and their opinions are not necessarily those of CNHT, Granite Grok, or anyone else for that matter.